I'm going to, the objective of this talk is to try to find a way to control guinea grass, which is, we consider an invasive weed on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. And sorry, but I don't have a success story, but I want to tell you what our thought process is in trying to control this grass, because it's a pretty bad invasive weed for the military. This grass is originated in Africa, and it's a cattle feed. It's used by people who grow cows quite extensively. It has a rapid growth rate. It's a prolific seed producer. It spreads by rhizomes. You could grow a lot of cows on this grass, and you wouldn't call it an invasive weed. And I think that's one of the problems we have with invasive weeds, is that we don't have a definition for them. You know, the Park Service in Hawaii would probably call this an invasive weed, but if you were raising cows, you wouldn't. So we're not focused on what is an invasive weed. We're not putting our resources, they're scattered. And this is one of the problems we have in controlling this grass, because it's everywhere on the island. And it's troublesome, particularly to us, because it can carry a fire. This grass grows 3 meters high, and you shoot into it when it's dry, and you got a heck of a fire going on. And I'll show you a photo next. We have a lot of threatened endangered species in Hawaii, and they're up on the hills. And this grass is crawling up the mountainsides into those habitats. And then when we do control it temporarily, we get a great deal of sedimentation going off post, so from the soils. So it's quite a problem that we're trying to deal with. Oops, wrong way. So again, up to 3 meters tall, has a massive root system, and it's a prolific seed producer. What we have been doing in the past is controlling it with herbicides, and this is only temporary. It comes right back after a few months. And with the military, we have what we call impact ranges that we shoot into, that this is a weed that is pretty bad, and we can't get equipment in there. So we can't use a disc or anything like that, but we have to start somewhere, but we have that control too. That photograph on the lower right shows a meadow, or whatever you want to call it, with guinea grass. I mean, it's just everywhere. So what we're trying to do here in these studies is to look at combinations of herbicides and salt, sodium chloride. And I'll get more into this theory next. What we're doing is trying to break this down into three stages. One, we want to control the guinea grass. We wanted to control their growth. Two, we want to establish a competitive plant. And three, we want then to establish the native plants. Now, Blair Waldron's in the audience, but when we worked with the ARS, we developed this concept called the ecological bridge method, where we put a nurse crop in, and this was in the east in New York. We put introduced plant called defined fescues, not tall fescue, in, and that takes over from the nurse crop, and then the native comes in by itself. So it's a bridge to try to get native plants established. We're trying to do the same thing with the guinea grass control, where we establish a competitive plant and then try to establish the native plant. So I'll go through this. So the competitive plant we've selected is Seashore Paspalum, which is a turf grass species that's very salt tolerant. So now you get the idea. We're applying the herbicides and applying the salt, and then we'll get salty soil, and then we're going to try to grow this salt tolerant plant on the salty soil, hope that the salt then goes away and then the natives will come up. That's the whole theory of trying to get this plant established. So the Seashore Paspalum is salt tolerant, it's low growing, doesn't carry a fire, and it's stoloniferous, so it spreads and hopefully can be competitive with the guinea grass. So we've had the first set of studies was in the greenhouse, where you could see that the plant there that we're growing with various salt concentrations. Now this is another plant that could be considered an invasive weed. This is on all the golf courses in Hawaii, but it's not from away, so is it invasive? We got a lot of problems with definitions. So the approach is to, we conducted some greenhouse studies looking at to enhance the herbicide effects. And so we've done various studies with different salt concentrations in the soil to try to find out what salt concentrations will injure the guinea grass and which ones, which similar salt concentrations will be tolerated by this paspalum's grasses. So we've gone through that, we've picked out some ratios, then we entered the field studies and we looked at the regrowth inhibition of the herbicides with treatments using herbicides, salt, and then mowing the grass, and then looking at the competitive establishment of the paspalum. I want to tell you right now, we didn't get any establishment of the paspalum seed because the seed soil contact in the field was so poor, and that's something we got to work on. But we did get control. So we have a study design in the field looking at treatments of herbicide, salt, herbicide plus salt in the mowing. We have 6 replications of each treatment. We did this last spring, and we have 3 sampling dates. So we went back and looked at the plots. This is what the plots look like. I'm older. I like hand-drawn things. It's hard to see. But what we have there are 12 plots. Half of them we seeded with the seashore paspalum. Half we did not. So I just combined those for the control because we just really didn't get any establishment of the seashore paspalum. But this was done in a bowl area. It was kind of like a volcanic soil, very mineral that we used here. Now, if we look at this is looking at the data from looking at over all the treatment types and all the sampling dates, and just looking at the various treatments and with the salt and the herbicide, salt plus herbicide and the mowing, you can see that with the salt plus herbicide, we're getting better control, getting less live cover of the guinea grass than we are with the herbicide alone. And with the salt, we're getting a little bit of an effect over the mowing. So we're getting, the salt is helping. So we need to go further on that and look more in that area. Now, if you look at it over the different treatment dates, after 14 days, the herbicide and the herbicide plus salt had the best control, and that's primarily from the herbicide, of course. But then after 29 days, it's still similar. But after 78 days, which is about the time you need to get another grass established, the salt plus herbicide is better than the herbicide alone. Now we need to get the seashore paspalum established within that time. We have to find a way to get that established. And salt alone is, even after 78 days, was better than mowing. So the salt does stay effect. Another thing I forgot to mention, that after 2 days after we applied the salt, we had a bunch of rain, which didn't help our case. But the salt effect was still there, which is good. So the conclusions are the salt plus herbicide is the best and provides the best control of the guinea grass. The herbicide alone is good, but you have to keep applying it, and it's expensive. Plus, you have all those factors of the soil erosion, which is pretty important, having sedimentation. What we want to do next is try some disking. If we can get some soil disturbance in there, and so if we can get the seashore paspalum to establish, would be good. We want to use dry salt instead of liquid salt, the solution. When you use a solution, you get some injury to the leaves, but you're not really damaging the crown of the plant. It just looks good. So if we could use dry salt, maybe it could be more tolerant of when it rains and precipitation. And as a wild idea, the Laysan albatross. I've been going through the web, and this thing has been eating the grass, and it's an endangered bird. It's migratory, but it's been eating the grass, and it's huge. And maybe we should try to, it comes back to the same places every year, and maybe we should try to draw it in and then try to have it nest in some of these places and try to do further damage to this grass. But that's just a far out idea. We're still working on that. But I'd like to acknowledge the Army Environmental Command who funded this work and the people at Schofield Barracks who helped us put this all together and provide equipment and that type of thing. Thank you very much.
We have time for a few questions.
I'm intrigued by this ecological bridge idea, and I don't know if it's consistent with our way you comment on. Carlo D'Antonio has also proposed something, I think, similar with introducing less competitive non-native species, trying to shift the competitive balance. Is that the sort of thing you're trying to do here, is using less competitive species to
allow? Well, we're using more competitive species, but not as tolerant to that environment, so they'll die. Because they'll go
more
out.
Short-lived competitive.
Yes.
Short-lived, very competitive species, so they'll live for 3 to 5 years and give you enough time to have your natives established. Get a foothold to outcompete some of the other.
Because my understanding of part of her challenge was this fire issue that you talked about is shifting the fire frequency also. So are these, is this salt grass less fire prone than the guinea grass?
No, it's very low growing. It creeps along the.
It's a matter of biomass quantity. Instead of 3 meters of biomass, you're now talking half a meter.
No, I'm sure.
Yes.
You show results with these treatments out to 78 days. Do you have results though that go out for a year or more in terms of how residual this effect is?
No, because it was only done in April. So I think the people at Schofield, they didn't see the, you can't visually see an effect. You have to measure it and then put the data together, and they weren't seeing anything. They saw green in every plot, so they stopped measuring after 78 days.
I mean, really, the proof here is, putting is going to be whether the reduction is maintained for a year or more out, because we're dealing with perennial grass.
Right. Well, not necessarily. The proof is to get the paspalum to be competitive with the regrowth of the guinea grass.
Yeah, but phase one has to do with
right.
Controlling the guinea grass.
Right. So how? Yeah, we might need a year. We might need less. Depends on how we can get it established, how fast we can get the competitor established. Yes.
What's the, do you have a native grass there? Are you seeding it in, or are you assuming there's a source already in the soil?
There is no native grass. I've asked the environmental section, they want native plants, and I asked them which ones, and there are no native grasses. I'm trying to find one to put in there. So there aren't any yet. They have forbs, trees, but I'm still looking for one.
They have a fescue, but we're slightly outside of its range.
So then they don't want to use it. But a fescue would be good, because the fescues are slightly, in general, are slightly lelopathic, and that would be ideal to use a fescue. But so it gets back into the definition. You know, some people have a very narrow one, and it makes it hard. So.
I have one last question. So it seems like one other aspect is trying to slow the spread of it to new parts of the base or to new areas, or has it kind of made it almost everywhere?
It's almost everywhere except up into the hills where the threatened endangered species are.
Okay.
And we're trying to slow the spread in that direction.
And the other problem you have is because it is bowl-shaped and the guinea grass gets so tall, it could be down here in the bottom of the bowl, and the heat will actually go up and kill the threatened endangered plants that are up here at the top. And so that's part of the problem that we're having to deal with. Try and control it before that heat comes up or it catches fire.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.